Welcome to Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is a day we always remember as a day where the Church of Christ was almost officially born. It was born with power, and it was born with the Holy Spirit coming to demonstrate the power in Christ, the power that we have been endowed and enabled with, and showing us what we can do through God. If you're here and you're new, or you have never met me before, my name is Joe. I'm one of the pastors here at Life UC. My wife and I, you may not see me too often here, my wife and I work with an incredible team at our city location, and we serve with a lovely team. And just as you do, they love the Lord and they love serving Jesus. This morning, for those who are joining us online, whether you're watching live or you're watching delayed, a warm welcome to you as well. I'm excited about the significance of this day, Pentecost Sunday, not just because of the importance of it on the church calendar globally, but because of the importance of Pentecost in the lives of every Christian, and the importance of today in your life and in the lives of a few people who are going to be coming to be water baptized and standing to declare their faith publicly in Jesus this morning. This morning, I'll be bringing a message to us that is entitled Empowered for Influence. Empowered for Influence. Bow your hearts and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity we have as a church family to come before you to worship this morning and to just celebrate Pentecost and what this signifies in our lives as believers and as your church, and as individuals who make up your church. Lord, I ask this morning that your people will hear less of me and hear everything from the Holy Spirit. We ask that, Holy Spirit, you will speak to everyone here today. You speak to myself in a way that we can associate with and the way we can understand to its fullness. We give you praise, Father, as you have your way in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. And God's people say amen. If you're not too cold, say amen. Amen. Empowered for influence. By definition, to be empowered, by dictionary, is to make someone stronger and more confident, especially in controlling their life and claiming their rights. To be empowered is a word we use in so many ways in the secular world. But this morning, I'll be talking about being empowered and energized as a Christian and living the fullness of the fundamentals of what God has created us to be. In being more confident, in becoming stronger, and being able to control things that we may not necessarily have a control over right now. I don't know about you, but many people in the room this morning will be able to identify with areas of their lives where they would hope that they have a better control on. Many of us will have areas in our lives where we feel and we're continually working on getting a hold and a control over those areas. I have good news for you this morning. You're not alone in whatever you may be going through. You're not alone in the challenges that you may be facing in getting things under control. And you're not alone is not in the sense of other people going through the same thing, which is true. But you're not alone in having the power of the Holy Spirit available to you to help you through what you may be going through and what you may be trusting God to walk and improve on. Influence is another word that we use very commonly. And even these days, we talk about people who are influencers. I met a young man a couple of years ago, and we got talking. And I said, what do you want to become in life? What's your future? What are you believing and trusting to become as you evolve into a fine young man? And he said, I want to become an influencer. And I thought, oh, tell me more about that. And he got to educate me on what he plans to do to be able to influence people. And I asked him, how do you want to achieve this? I'm going to have a YouTube channel. I'm going to do all of this stuff. And he explained to me how he could be an influencer. And I thought to myself, you already are. It's not something we need to aspire to. Because whether we realize it or not, we are all influencing people. And we are already all being influenced by people around us. An influence can be immediate. It could be temporary. It could be cumulative over time. But whatever men do in the moment, whatever you do in the moment, continues to influence those who are around you. Whether it's passive, whether it's doing nothing, whether it's being active, somebody is being influenced. And you are also influencing yourself in the process. If I ask you a question this morning, if you would give me a flick of a couple of people who have influenced you in the last couple of days, many of us may not necessarily be able to point a finger to someone in particular who we think has influenced us in the last few days. But I tell you what, in the last couple of hours, people have influenced you, whether you've realized it or not. In the last couple of hours, you have influenced other people, whether you realize it or not. While we may not quickly recognize or identify that we are influencing other people around us or that we are being influenced by others, the reality is we continually experience passive and active influence wherever we find ourselves. Whether it's within our families, within our friendship groups, in our workplace, with our clients, on the streets, on the bus, wherever we find ourselves, it's always an opportunity to influence others. And whether we work actively at it or otherwise, we are influencing others and we are also being influenced. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, we read the story of Pentecost and we read the supernatural account of the day when the Holy Spirit came and how the believers were baptized and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we read about the effect of the empowerment from the Holy Spirit in impacting others through the body of Christ. And this influence continues on to this day, over 2,000 years after. For us to be an effective conduit of influence, which is what God has created every one of us to be, whether it's a positive influence or negative influence, people can make choices of how they influence others or how they allow others to influence them. But for us to be an effective conduit of influence, God needs our attention. And God needs our commitment and willingness to influence the world around us. And we cannot influence the world around us, or while we may be able to do that, it starts with the next person closest to us. Or even better still, it starts with the influence from within as a foundation. A few weeks ago, on a Friday afternoon, as I finished up at work, a bit of a late afternoon, I had a big sigh of relief like most of us will do on a Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Yay. It's time to go. Let's get on to the weekend. And my phone rang. My wife called me. Remember to go through the pizza shop and pick up a few boxes of pizza. You've got a hungry wife and a hungry three kids at home. Make sure you go to the pizza shop. And I'm thinking, the pizza shop is just 1.5 kilometers from home. I wish you could get it, but I had to obey. So I drove. And as I drove home, I had a million things running through my mind. I remembered the week. I thought about what was going to happen on the weekend. I had plans for what I was going to do in the next hour or so after getting the pizza. I had to bring my son to youth and I'll go back home and come back to pick him up. And all of these things kept going through my head. They don't happen to you, but all these things kept going through my head. And as I got into the pizza shop, I made up my mind, this moment is an in and out. I'm not even going to say hi. I just mention my name. I get the pizza and off I go. So I got into the pizza shop. As soon as I got in there, very quickly, I got my pizza delivery. And as I headed into my car, as it happens to me sometimes, I don't know where the irrational thought came from. I thought, today, I don't want to smell this pizza next to me on the seat in front. I want to put it in the back. I want to put it in the boot of the car. So I proceeded to the boot of the car, put the pizza there, a million things running through my head, and somehow I got into my car, started the car. And as I drove out, I saw this lady who owns the shop next to the pizza shop, which I've always seen. And for the first time, she was waving and smiling so nicely, and she wanted to get my attention. And I also smiled, but like we always do, hi. And I drove past.
I went up the hill. 1 kilometer, I was about to be home. And I saw my neighbor stopping me. And I said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And he said, "Joe, this is strange. Why are you driving with your boots open? You will never do that." And I looked behind. My goodness, my boot is open. Quickly, I went into the back of the car, had a look, not a single box of pizza. 3 hungry kids, 1 hungry wife, strong instruction. And I thought to myself, I cannot order something new. So I drove back. And as I pulled closer to the place where this lady was trying to get my attention, I saw the boxes of pizza flying on the ground there. Pieces everywhere, a few boxes. I opened them, one after the other, empty boxes. Thankfully, I had one. I picked up the empty boxes and one box left. Deflated, thinking about my judgment, I packed all my pizza and the empty ones and I drove home. And as I came in the hallway, I got them covered. And I carried them like a delivery man. I've got the pizza. The kids came up. "Dad, where are the pizza? Everybody wanted to eat." So I had them on the table. And very quickly, it came to the fore that Dad has done it again. He's messed it up. And my son said, "You must be joking." I said, "No, I'm not joking. This is real. There is no pizza. Enjoy the one box." And you would imagine how judged I was at that point. Before my wife came out. And the story was different. And soon as I was done there, as I stood there deflated and thinking about how in the world, how silly was I? What really happened? Did I actually shut the boot? Did I shut it? Did it just open back? What happened? Why did the pizza go in the boot in the first instance? Why not next to me? Maybe a slice on the way home. And I was thinking about all of these things, but the Holy Spirit said to me at that point, "But you remember that lady who was trying to get your attention. You were very quick to smile, to wave, and to move on. Sometimes that's how you do treat me." How tragic it is sometimes when God actually wants to get our attention and when God wants to interrupt our lives and when he wants to interact with us in a deeper sense, but we sort of think about the familiarity. He's always there. This is how it's always been. And we move on. I had a reality check with that experience. But I'm not alone. I know there are many of us who are busy. There are many things that life throws at us. And we have to juggle all of these things. But we have to go back to the basics and think and live in the reality of how God wants us to live. Jesus said during the course of his ministry, as he spent time with his disciples, as they walked in with him day in, day out, he got to a point in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 12. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this will he do, because I go to my Father." Here is Jesus promising you and I, saying to his disciples, we will do even greater works than he did because he goes to his Father. It's an exciting time for the disciples to hear that and see that Jesus had raised the dead. He had opened the eyes of the blind. He had spoken to demons. He has caused deliverance. And thousands were following him everywhere. He had fed them and had ministered to their needs. And Jesus is saying, beyond all of these that I have done, you would accomplish even more. And as he prepared, after he rose and resurrected, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus will say to them, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And as Jesus proclaimed and said to them and set their eyes on the goal and the vision that he had in a greater sense of calling that he had for them, Jesus will not just say you would influence the people who are in Jerusalem, in Judea, and across the world. But Jesus will start with a fundamental influence on their lives. The first thing is, he says, "But you shall receive power." You cannot influence without the power. You shall first have to receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. In this verse, I believe that Jesus was reiterating the importance of the enabling power of the Holy Spirit on us as individuals before we can begin to effectively influence other people in the way that He wants us to. Before looking at the wider influence that we hope to have on others, Jesus was emphasizing to us the importance of having a personal transformation from the Spirit and a personal energy that the Holy Spirit imbibes in us for us to be able to influence other people. I believe strongly that most of us, if not all of us, live two lives. We live two phases of our lives. The first phase of our lives is the life that we get introduced by. We love to put that on our CVs. People introduce us by that. We love to introduce ourselves by that. I'm an influencer. I'm the CEO. I'm the volunteer. I am the friend. I'm the brother. I'm the father. And we have all of this introducing us and defining who we are on the outside. We talk about being a scientist or being an accountant or being a first responder or people keeping us safe in the community. These are good stories and these are good faces of our lives. But the other version of our lives is the one that is less talked about. That's version 2.0. Version 2.0 in our lives is very rarely less talked about, sometimes never spoken about. People have version 2.0 in them, and sometimes they die without anybody knowing what that version 2.0 is. That version 2.0 is the personal faith journey that we have. It is the slow growth that we experience, or sometimes the stagnated lives that we think we live. Version 2.0 is the part of our lives that is jealous. Version 2.0 is the life that treats people with resentment. Version 2.0 is the one that thinks about the regrets of the past and worries and the shame that we carry along with us from our mistakes of the past. Version 2.0 is the part of us that is anxious and worried about the future and thinking about what tomorrow might look like or even worried about today in what we're in. Version 2.0 is the part that feels rejected. It feels cynical. It's struggling with anxiety and addictions and difficulties and challenges and the things that we see, which maybe we may not necessarily be able to talk about. And Jesus, I believe, saw the two versions of the disciples. He saw the two versions of them. The first, which was good and a credible part of their CV. They had been with Jesus. They had seen Jesus. They had walked with Him. They had been a part of solving solutions of hunger and people starving. They had seen all of these good things. They had even been with the resurrected Savior. They had felt His scars. They had seen Him come through the wall unannounced. They've seen Him disappear. Jesus saw this version 1.0 of their lives and He knew they were almost ready to influence their world. But He would say to them, "You are not ready yet. We've got to fix and work on version 2.0. Version 2.0 is the one that makes sure there is that inner unseen version of the disciples of us transformed and energized and in line with what God's plan and purpose for us is for our lives. So He will say to them, He commanded them, the Bible says. He did not advise them. Jesus will say in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. It was a command. Do not depart. You're not ready yet. Version 2.0 needs to be worked on. Do not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And for many years, prophecies had been given about the Holy Spirit coming. Prophet Joel, over 700 years before then, had prophesied that in the last days, in Joel chapter 2, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And here was Jesus bringing them so close to the point where the Holy Spirit was going to be outpoured on them. They were looking forward to that and looking forward to the excitement of taking the game to the next level, influencing more and even do greater things than Jesus did. And yet Jesus will say, no, I command you not to leave Jerusalem. You've got to wait. You have the CV. You have the glowing reference. You've got the life, but you've got to wait for version 2.0 to be addressed. The Holy Spirit, Jesus recognizes and lets them know, is a transformational force in them. And he knew they could only go so far with that version of their lives addressed. And as we talk about Pentecost, and as we talk about and celebrate the great power of the Holy Spirit, which was made manifest in a great way for the world to see, it is important that we realize that the coming of the Holy Spirit was one for version 2.0. It was the part for the version that is least talked about. It was the part for the version where they were afraid and probably concerned. This Jesus is going, what is going to happen to us? They were worried about their struggles and their challenges, which they may not necessarily have a control over right now. But Jesus was saying, wait. And first be baptized by the Holy Spirit. First be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. Before you begin to live out version 2 and begin to influence others. Empowered for influence. We cannot influence effectively without being empowered from within. We cannot influence effectively without being energized by the Holy Spirit from within. And whether we know it or not, every single day of our lives, every single moment, whether it's meaning to mingle in church, whether it's on the bus, whether it's in the workplace, we are influencing people around us. How many times have you seen people saying, I woke up in the morning, it was a grumpy day, and as I went on, this then happened, and that happened, and then you impact other people negatively, it also spreads to other people. So the boss comes in unhappy, he takes it on the receptionist is unhappy, they take it on their family, and it just spreads on to other people. The power of our influence goes way beyond what we can see. The influence in kindness, the influence in listening to others, the influence in giving people a second chance. What realities do we need to think about? A few things that I would like to share about the wait before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. A few things happened. And as Jesus spoke to them to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first thing that happened in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 9 was as they waited for that power, as they waited for that transformation, not yet transformed, but as they began to wait and as they began to obey, to be restricted into the area that Jesus wanted them to be, to stay in Jerusalem. It was inconvenient. It was inconvenient to be restricted, but they had to do it. And as they waited, in Acts chapter 1 verse 9, the first thing they saw in obedience was they experienced once in a lifetime and never to happen again, an event where they saw the ascension of Jesus to glory. As they listened, not yet spreading out and beginning to influence immediately, as they took obedience to that, they saw what was never seen again and what will never be seen again. As Jesus rose and went into the clouds, a miracle happened. Is there anything in your life that you think you've been tarrying around for so long and you think it's so difficult and almost impossible? I believe, God, that a miracle can happen even in the wait. The second thing that happened was they heard God's promise. And as Jesus was taken up into the sky, now the wait has begun. They heard a voice that prophesied and declared about Jesus returning. And they had the opportunity to look steadfastly to heaven. Heaven as Jesus was taken up. And as we wait to be energized, as we wait to be transformed by the Spirit of God, as we wait to experience the transforming power and the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that God can open up our eyes as we look up to Him and as we look into heaven. Are there things you're looking up to God for? Continue to fix your eyes on Jesus, and I believe heaven will open to you. One of the experiences that they had as they began the wait was they had two angels stand next to them. And this, to me, symbolizes the fact that we are not alone. The angels will come and stand next to them and let them know that Jesus has gone, but you're not by yourselves. Even as you wait for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, even as you're not there yet and you're still going through a journey, you are not by yourself. Angels will stand with them. And I believe that whatever we're going through as individuals, or whatever we're believing and trusting God to walk with us on and to transform us on, we need to recognize that we're not alone. We do have the power of the Holy Spirit present, and we have God on our side. One thing that also happened to them was they did not just hang around town after Jesus left. They went back into the community of believers and they committed themselves to prayers and supplication. I believe we need a community of believers around us. We cannot do life alone as Christians. And Jesus will recognize that if they should scatter and just move on to different paths at the point where they weren't necessarily strong or developed or energized enough or enabled yet by the Holy Spirit, they were possibly going to fall by the wayside. And as a Christian, you cannot live life alone. You've got to be planted in a community, not just in attending church services on Sundays or online. Praise God for those opportunities. But you've got to be planted in company of believers who will help you hold your hands up and help you to stand when you're struggling. And as they went back into the community of believers, they prayed and made supplications. One other thing they did was they looked inwards and honestly identified their area of need and lack. Suddenly, once Jesus was gone, they went back and they looked inwards and realized we're actually not complete anymore. Judas is gone. There is a weak link here. We need someone to step into the role of Judas. So in believing God and in waiting on the Holy Spirit and helping the Holy Spirit helping us to be transformed and be enabled and empowered to make influence, we need to also recognize, we need to be honest with ourselves. We need to look inward. What are the areas that I'm really struggling? It's not just about sweeping it under the carpet, but recognizing that this is an area of challenge that I have. And how can I get help? What are the promises of God in this area? How can I grow and overcome these challenges that I may be going through? We all have our deficiencies. We all have areas in our lives that we're not measuring up to what God's standard will be for us. But we cannot give up on ourselves and we cannot just sweep it away. We need to face it like they did. They recognized their incompleteness and believed God to help them through it. And while they were waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to energize them and to empower them, I believe they also were at the crossroad of choice. And having the power of the Holy Spirit does not necessarily mean that we will not have to make tough decisions. But at the crossroad of choice, where they had two to make a decision on, whether it should be justice or whether it should be Matthias, they asked God for help. They asked God for direction before casting their lots. And I believe that in areas that we're challenged with, we can ask God for help. And our God is able to give us direction. And God is able to help us to walk through the areas that we may be challenged. And one thing that happened was they prayed. I love that. They prayed. The book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 23 to 24. The psalmist prayed. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." They prayed. They knew they were weak. And they knew there were areas that God needed to reveal to them, to understand, and for the Holy Spirit to be able to help them to walk through. I hope that is a prayer of your heart tonight, this morning. That you can also ask God to search you. Ask God to lead you. Ask God to help you to realize and recognize the areas where you need to work on. We must first personally and honestly identify areas in our lives where we are struggling and where we need dependence on God to work on us as we seek to positively influence those around us. There is also a strong place of prayer about our struggles and our challenges and the areas where we're believing God to get us into a better place. There's a place for prayers and trusting God in faith to be able to walk through our weaknesses on this side of eternity. And I believe there is also an opportunity for us to acknowledge that we may not have every answer that we have, that we need. And as they were faced with a choice of two, as they waited to begin to influence the world around them, they were torn with a choice between two. But they could still rely on God to guide them and to help them. And I see in that story that God did not specifically appoint someone. They had to cast their lot. And when they did that, they had to faithfully run with the passion through which the person that has been elected to stand in the place of the missing person.
And as Christians, sometimes we may not necessarily have answers that are clearly defined. But we can believe and trust God to lead us and to run in faith in the things that God has helped us to make a decision on. In making a difference in the lives of others around us, in influencing the lives that are connected to us, whether it's in the immediate sense or even far-reaching, I would encourage you not to be afraid. Do not be afraid of the extent and the response to your influence. In Acts chapter 2, verse 5 to 12, people were attracted to them. So the crowds came as the Holy Spirit transformed them. As their lives were empowered, they attracted people to them. Never be afraid of the attraction that may come as God walks through you and as He transforms you. Do not be discouraged by the views that other people express as God transforms you and as you begin to live out the life that God has called you to live. We see in Acts 2:13 that they were mocked as they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and as they began to speak in new tongues. People came and celebrated and marveled at what God was doing. But at the same time, there were others who were mocking them and say they were full of new wine. As God transforms you and as He helps you to walk through those things in your life, there will be people who would mock. There will be people who will be out to let you down, but never be discouraged. And recognize that in order to influence others, you must personally first be willing to open up to the influence of the Holy Spirit. As the team come, I believe that it is not only important that they waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but Jesus was saying to them, you need to wait. Not just do you need to wait, you need to open up your heart. You need to take the steps that are important to allow the Holy Spirit to walk through your life. And this morning, as we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, and as we celebrate the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to open up your heart, open up your life to the Holy Spirit. If you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, please talk to our team and we can help you understand the process in understanding that and getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. But much more importantly, you have to be open to the transforming power of the Spirit of God. To be able to influence the world around you this morning, you need to be empowered. But for you to be empowered, you need to be open. And as you open up your heart, I believe God is going to walk with you. And version 2.0 of your life will be glowing as heavens sing praise to what God is doing through you. This morning, true empowerment can only come from the freedom that comes with living in a relationship with Jesus and being strengthened by the Holy Spirit. The primary purpose of our existence and the most important step that we can take is first to establish a relationship with Jesus. Without that, there is no enablement from the Holy Spirit.